always seem to rise to it.
The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome in to the Lotus Place today, and this is the, what is this, the 23rd of December. So we are closing out this month and this year, and I hope that everyone is keeping up with their game changer plan for 2016, because we will check in on you tonight to see how you're going with that. Have you thought of any game changers? This is the Lotus Place. Welcome in. Welcome in to the Lotus Place radio show here tonight. And it is Wednesday, and so we are discussing, we're actually picking back up on the topic from on Sunday regarding the sexualization and victimization of Black women in this society, or so-called society. That's what you want to call this place. And still the lead in the water in Flint, Michigan. We had someone on the line last Sunday that was ready to give us a first-hand report from up there in Michigan, right outside of the Flint area. But we weren't able to get them in. They didn't press *61. So anyway, hopefully they will call back in tonight so that we can try to find out what's going on there. Speaking of what's going on there in Flint, what's going on with you, Mother Zola? How are you? Welcome in. Let's see. Do I have your mic open? Yes, I do.
Namaste, namaste. I am Fantabulous. How are you, Black
Rose? Fantabulous. Black Rose is fantabulous as well. Yes, I must say. I cannot complain. I can't complain. It was a beautiful day here in Houston today, and I really did.
It was.
Yeah, I had all intentions on going walking, but I didn't. So I'm still trying to get over this little sinus deal. This stuff, oh my goodness, I've never experienced anything like this. So this is kind of getting to me. So I have to fight this stuff off. But anyway, we're talking about sexualization and victimization of Black females. And Mother Zola, I believe you are going to share some of your readings with us tonight, or reading with us, maybe even some words of encouragement for some of our listeners or callers. People may want to call in and just as a therapeutic moment. Sometimes it's pretty good to just, it's very helpful and therapeutic to be able to sometimes talk about these things that we never have been able to speak about. Now, that's one thing I tell you, I'd gone through my boycott Tyler Perry films also, because I just couldn't stand to see another male, another Black male dressed up like a Big Mama or something like that. You know, that whole Black man in a dress theory. So I just didn't want to see any more of his films for a while, but I did have to concede and say, well, you know what, Tyler Perry really does touch on some issues that are sometimes, I guess you would say, hidden in our community, like the molestation and the abuse and what was that one?
Women taking abuse for money.
Yeah, the one with one of my favorites, Blair Underwood and Dan Whitfield and Cicely Tyson was in. And Maya Angelou, and the one who was being abused. And so I had to go back and watch that. I didn't go and see that at the theater, but like maybe a year later or something, maybe 2 years, I finally did get around and see that. And I was like, wow, that's deep. That was really deep because sometimes you stand from the outside and you look at these women or men and they seem like they just have all the perfect relationship.
Exactly.
Beautiful. They have his and her matching Mercedes or Saabs or whatever the case, Hondas, whatever, living good, looking good. But when they close that door, you just don't know what's going on. And that's what she was experiencing, and her mom condoned it.
She not only condoned it, she pushed it. She pushed it because she did come to her and tell her what was going on, and she told her, by no uncertain terms, will you not have this wedding because this man is filthy rich and da-da-da-da-da, and you take it.
Yeah, you take it.
That hurt my heart.
Oh, goodness gracious.
That hurt my heart. Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine. I really couldn't.
But you know what? When you see couples like that, you sometimes it's good to look beyond what first hits the eye, because they give little signs, the way they shift their eyes, or the way they give a half smile, not smiling with the eyes, as we're going to talk about tonight, the eyes, little body mannerisms, you know, when the lady says something and the man is, he has her arm and he does a quick jerk, you know, and she kind of does a little reaction that you cannot hide. It's an automatic reaction. And if you're paying attention, you'll see these little things like that, you know. You can pick up on it.
Yes. Those red flags. I always notice those red flags. I would posit that people, they show you immediately. If you just let a person talk, and that's what I do. I just let people talk, and I just listen. And the more they talk, the more they reveal about themselves, no matter, even if they're lying, just lying. Still, if you pay attention.
They're gonna trip over their lie at one point because they're constantly talking. And no matter how good they are, they gotta be extremely good. They can't remember every single lie.
And you know what?
They can't remember all the details of every single lie.
Right. But even the professional ones, I would say, something that I always do is I just ask for guidance and clarity in certain relationships. And probably should say that about all relationships. But I just say, you know, give me some clarity. Give me a sign. I want a sign. I want to know what's going on. And sure enough, it will come to pass. All will be revealed. If you just sit back, meditate, pray about it, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to call it, but just listen to a person. Be observant. And you'll be able to see exactly what you need to see and hear exactly what you need to hear, but you have to pay attention and just be willing to accept that truth, no matter how ugly that truth may be when it comes, because I've experienced it, and I said, oh, well, I asked for it.
Right.
I have my answer.
Right.
So it is what it is. So sexualization and victimization of black females and lead in the water in Flint, Michigan, part 2. Tonight, if you have and I know this is difficult for people, but if you have a situation that you would like to open up and share about, and also share how you overcame or are overcoming that situation so that we can help some other people. And, you know what we should have had? We should have had a list of, like hotlines. Like those rape hotlines. We should have that number.
Yeah.
I'll try to pull that up before the end of the show so that we can offer that to people. Let's see. And no justice for Sandra Bland, who advocates for black women. This past Monday in Walla County, the judge ruled that there was no one to indict in the suspicious so-called suicide death of Sandra Bland, who's a 28-year-old African-American woman. She was arrested on July 10th when she was stopped by a Walla County deputy or sheriff's deputy. I think his name is Encina. And I'm sure you probably have seen some of the video of, or at least have heard of it. If not, you can YouTube it. Plenty of those videos of her being pulled over right there in Prairie View, the same street that I would turn down and go to Prairie View campus quite often, like once a week. So it can happen to anybody. She was coming to Prairie View to start a new position, working with the children. They are the students there in Prairie View. And Sandra Bland was in the class. She was in the class of the students that marched so that college students could vote in the city or the county where they were stationed or enrolled in school. So that's how all students across the nation now are able to vote, because of that group, that class of Prairie View students that voted and had that law enacted, put in place.
It was the initiator.
People should be very thankful. Yes, people should be very thankful. And that's some history that I, too, just found out about.
Me, too.
Last year.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. Let me see here. We'll talk more about Sandra Bland. I saw a really good post speaking about her and keeping her memory alive. So I was pleased to see there was a march and rally in Walla as well as one here in Houston. So
they said that they could not acquit anyone, not even the sheriff who pulled her over.
No, the grand jury decided not to indict anyone. Now, the next step is for her parents to file the civil lawsuit. But here's the kicker. This is what's just, once again, so egregious and so blatantly just disrespectful. The family wasn't even notified that there was going to be a hearing.
What?
A grand jury hearing. Yes. They found out through the media. That's how they found out.
No, how disrespectful, like you mean nothing.
Yeah. But that's how they treat the black people in Walla County, from my understanding. Like, you're nothing. I don't owe you anything. It's just unbelievable. Let's welcome in Mother Hattie. Welcome in. Icy Hot, we have your mic open.
Hey there. There's a lot going on. Hey.
Hey, Mother Hattie.
Hello there.
I'm so glad that you were able to call in. Just wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Fantabulous.
So, Mother Hattie, they shut down your mall up that way. So, can you give us a report on that?
Yeah, in the airport. Well, pretty much they went to the Black Lives Matter. People have been stating that the judge ruled of the last time when they were there, that first time, that was private property and they couldn't come on there and demonstrate and have freedom to express their freedom of speech because it was private property. However, the Black Lives Matters organization group believes that is not to be true because they have their own security system there, police, what have you, at the mall. And they said the Homeland Security had their own plan, and they had lots of government money and dollars going there, and That's why they intended on still making sure that they could express themselves in this public venue. So when they marched out there today and came up on the Mall of America, they would not allow them in. They couldn't get in at first. So I guess they took the train over to the next stop was the Hubert Humphrey Airport, which is a secondary airport. It's not the main terminal there where most of the planes come in and out of. It's the one where they have the charter flights and, you know, some of those. So they went to Hubert Humphrey and I guess took over some spaces there, but then doubled back and were able to later on get into the mall. And the people did shut down, I think, for about an hour, some of the stores or something.
That's kind of what was said.
So I didn't hear of any right now, any arrest, and people on Facebook probably know more about that than me, because they were doing that in real time. That's where people were getting their information off of Facebook as it was going on. I know that there was a lady on that was what's her name? Democracy Now. That's what they were doing. They were looking on there and reporting on what was happening minute by minute.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'll check on Twitter in just a second and see.
Okay.
I did see on the news how the judge ruled, like, not to allow them and then to allow them and all that. I said, oh, my God. And then some of the, I think like three of the Black Lives Matter organizers there in Minneapolis, they were forbidden from being able to come to the protest or post anything on Facebook and all of that.
What?
I mean, that is crazy.
Oh,
that is crazy.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, they did the same thing with Reverend Pinckney. Then their mother had it. Then they say that he couldn't broadcast anymore. How are you taking away people's freedom of speech? Or do we
and then the mall is a public place. It's a public place. Anybody can go there. You don't have to pay to walk in. And then another method that they could have used when they were turned around, I don't know how they were able to get in the second time, but they could have kind of split up, like three of them go in through this entrance, you know, maybe not necessarily holding their signs up, just come on in, walk in like they're shopping, and then they gather all together at one time and agree to meet up at one particular place, and they're already there. You know, so
like
all of them coming in one entrance. Yes, exactly.
Right.
They inconspicuously enter the mall, and then they agree to meet at a certain time and do what they got to do, you know, until
or until. Last year they did do that. I think it seems like it was kind of, everyone was taken by surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember that. Yeah, everybody was taken. That's why all of a sudden they just appeared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I do applaud them for continuing those efforts. I really do. Because just keeping the noise, we have to work from many different angles with these situations.
You do, just like they do.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they do.
Yeah, strategies. So, Mother Zola, do you want to go into your reading?
Yes, I will start on my reading and then we'll come back, with the mind, body, and spirit. So tonight, audience, ladies, gents, kings, and queens, we'll be talking about the eyes. So following is a compilation of quotes that I have put together about the eyes. And so as I read over them, some of them you're familiar with, some of them are maybe new. I even made up a couple myself. So if you hear one that resonates with you, then make a mental note of that one. And then maybe if we have time, will say why that particular one resonates with you, and why you think it's important to you or what have you. So, one of the most familiar one is the eyes have it. The eyes are the windows to the soul. I wish my eyes could take photos. Invisible tears are the hardest to wipe away. Sometimes the heart sees what is invisible to the eye. An eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Your eyes see wonderful because you are. The eye of the human being is like a microscope. It makes the world see bigger than it really is. The eyes shout what the lips fear to say. She smiled softly, but this time it was different. Her face smiled, but her eyes didn't. Perhaps our eyes need to be washed with tears once in a while so we can see life with a clear view once again. Why do the eyes see a thing more clearly in dreams than the imagination when awake? Take a deep breath, look into my eyes, and tell me if I really care. Look into my eyes and tell me what I'm not saying, for my eyes speak louder than my voice ever will. Every closed eye, a lot of noise. This is a reading. Every closed eye is not sleep. Every open eye is not seeing. The best feeling can everybody put their phone on mute? Because there's a lot of background clanging and clanging, and this is reading. This is reading and expression of thought. Take a deep breath.
I just muted all the calls.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay. Take a deep breath. You know, I'm like Eric Badu. I'm serious about my shit. If you're doing an artist. Take a deep breath. Look into my eyes. And tell me if I really care. Look into my eyes and tell me what I'm not saying, for my eyes speak louder than my voice ever will. Every closed eye is not sleep. Every open eye is not seeing. The best feeling is when you look at him and he's already staring at you. Fact. People with brown or hazel eyes are the most fun and happy. They kiss the best and will love when not wanted. They always wind up falling for people they haven't known long. They are most hyper and crazy people. You can't do better than them. Real eyes. Let me say that one again. Real eyes. And my last one. Of all the senses, sight must be the most delightful. And that was by Helen Keller, who didn't have sight. So, which one of those resonated with you? Black Rose, then you can open up the mics again.
Well, I would have to say that I love that one. Real eyes. I've never heard that.
No, real lies.
Oh, real lies? Like real
lies. Yes. Oh, real eyes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Real eyes. Mm-hmm. When you're lying, you can look into somebody's eyes and tell that they're lying.
Mm.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
Okay, yes. That one resonated with me.
Okay, okay. I like, let's see. I like, look into my eyes and tell me what I'm not saying, for my eyes speak louder than my voice ever will. Because sometimes I keep things locked behind my lips. But if you look into my eyes speak a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They say a lot of things that I don't really say.
Mm.
Mother Hattie, were you able to hear one that resonated with your spirit? Is Mother Hattie off mute?
Yes, she may have put herself on mute until she can get settled, because I think that was Mother Hattie. She'll join us shortly. But that one, okay, realize.
Right.
Okay.
Now,
that was nice.
Oh,
and I have to apologize. That was me doing all the clanking, and I thought I had it on mute because I was going to set that up there for that boy right quick. I do apologize because I know your stuff is serious, so my apologies.
Okay.
That was me.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. What did you resonate with, Mother Hattie,
I like, oh my goodness, I was just listening, I was thinking like, wow, that is so unique and so, you know, you come up with some things that people can just kind of take with them from on.
Oh,
that's one thing
good.
I know. I mean, like that one about being, what did you say, I think you called them energy parasites.
Yes, energy parasite, yeah.
And here is this one now, real eyes. Realize.
No, realize. That's the same thing as you said. Realize. You know, if you have real eyes that really can see. Like, I don't talk a whole lot, but I see a lot. I see little bitty things. So it says real eyes, realize, realize. They can tell.
Realize, Ellen, L-I-E-S.
Yes.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey, either one of them is good, though.
Yes, it's true, because I hadn't thought about that one that y'all said. That's true also.
Yeah, it's good.
That's true also. Yeah.
And I know she said that, but I thought it was two parts to it.
mm-hmm.
I love that. It is amazingly wonderful.
Yeah.
So when we come back from break, maybe you can... just run through a few of those again for us, because there was another one that I liked also, and then we'll jump into our topic for tonight. You're listening to The Lotus Place. We'll be right back after this break.
Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, and we are back here, The Lotus Place, 641-715-3660 is the number to call. Let me just say that again. If you're listening online and you'd like to call in and also comment, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 54903.
to press pound and then press star 61 if you'd like to speak. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking about the part two of our show on Sunday that we had on Sunday, sexualization and the victimization of black females, women, and also the lead in the water in Flint, Michigan, which is extremely harmful for people and even more so harmful for children. That's why we don't have the lead paint in our home. So just think about the effects of drinking lead water. You're actually drinking this, you're cooking with this. At one time, they even had the water in Flint was laden with E. coli. So these people are cooking with poop water, lead water, and it's just absolutely ridiculous, and it's just disgusting, and it is so sad. And the people in Flint, Michigan need some help. We need to send some water to them. So, Mother Zola? Mother Zola, let me see, did we lose her? Okay, nope, you're still there. I'd like to hear your real...
Oh, I'm sorry, I was on mute too.
Your eyes have it and all of that. Can you just share a few more of those? Some of those,
okay.
I'm not supposed to go through each and every one, but I know there was one other one that I really liked.
Okay. I wish my eyes could take photos. I kind of like that one too. Invisible tears are the hardest to wipe away. Your eyes see wonderful because you are. The eyes shout what the lips fear to say. She smiled softly, but this time it was different. Her face smiled, but her eyes didn't.
Yeah,
why do the eyes see a thing more clearly in dreams than the imagination when awake? Now, think about that. I hadn't thought about that one before. You notice how sometimes your things are so clear? One time I saw a loud green, like a lime green, and it was like everything was color. Like I had a color desk, I had a green desk, a green outfit, and something behind me was green, and it was so vivid. So this says, why do the eyes see a thing more clearly in your dreams than the imagination when awake? You know how you imagine something is kind of fuzzy, you know, like I'm trying to think of this house, you know, and I'm trying to place things, but I'm wide awake. But in the dream, everything is so clear.
It really is.
I wake up, it's like, was that a dream?
I've had some dreams like that. I've had some dreams
like
that. Whereas I can actually see like the color and texture of fabric. And it was like it was actually there touching that fabric.
Yeah.
I really felt like that.
Now they say when you smell in a dream, that's really something.
I don't know if I've ever smelled anything.
No, I know I haven't. Yeah, I know I haven't. But that's something. Take a deep breath. I like this one. Take a deep breath. Look into my eyes and tell me if I really care.
Ooh. That sounds like something I would say.
Yes, it does. Every closed eye is not sleep. Every open eye is not seen.
I really like that. Wait a minute, it's not seen?
Seeing, looking.
Okay.
Yeah,
like
just because your eyes are open doesn't mean that you are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Your eyes are just open.
Mm-hmm.
And this one.
Zombie.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. The best feeling, I like this one. This is sort of like romantic. The best feeling is when you look at him and he's already staring at you. It's like, oh. You know, like in Waiting to Exhale, when she was walking away. And she turned around.
Mm-hmm.
She says, "Oh, I hope he's not looking." And she turned around, and he was looking like, "Oh, he's staring." You know, so that's a good one. Now, this one's about interesting, and this will kind of parlay into
what I'm going to talk about later when I talk about melanin in the eyes. People with brown or hazel eyes are the most fun and happy. They kiss the best and will love when not wanted. They always wind up falling for people they haven't known long. They are most hyper and crazy people. You can't do better than them. Yeah.
People with brown eyes.
Brown or hazel eyes.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why in a minute. Sometimes the heart sees what is invisible to the eye.
Sometimes
an eye for an eye only in, yes. Sometimes the heart sees. You know, the heart already knows what the mind is trying to figure out.
I've heard that, I think. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. A lot of people say, you know, follow your mind, you know, don't follow your heart, you know, blah, blah, blah. But your heart mm-hmm. is like your gut. Your gut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes your gut tells you stuff and you just ignore it.
Your inner voice. Like some
mm-hmm.
people say, something told me.
Right? Yeah.
Some people say that was your intuition, your inner voice,
mm-hmm.
or your God
mm-hmm.
sense.
Your higher self. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something told me. Yeah, something told you, so that's what you should have done. Or
yes.
It's a good thing you did it because, yes, your inner self
mm-hmm.
did tell you to do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
I was coming down the street, down Kirkwood out here, and
mm-hmm.
I was like getting it because I was almost home. It was like 42, 43, you know, miles. Not speeding, but you know, you got the pedal on, you got the foot on the pedal. And then all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
someone says, you need to slow down. And then I
mm-hmm.
automatically took my foot off the gas, and
mm-hmm.
up ahead was the cop waiting. I said, whoo, I was doing 30. All of a sudden, I was just doing 30, 32. In a 35 mile, because I was doing like 42.
Speeding.
But I listened.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think about it. I didn't even say what. I just like took my foot off the brake, off the pedal,
mm-hmm.
off the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, thank you, Aja.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing those, Delta. You missed some of those. I'll just share some eyes quotes with us. So, anyway, let's welcome in Delta Cougar.
Hello, hey. Namaste.
Hello. How everybody's doing tonight? I'm sorry, I'm running a little late tonight. I had to go over there and get some of that, a little of that Christmas party in tonight.
I know that's right, Delta. I know I had to do mine last week, so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, did you have a good time?
Oh, I had a nice time, me and Papa. We had a nice time.
Oh,
so we just
that's
got
good.
Back in.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Who all on the line with us tonight?
Well, we have Mother Hattie, we have Mother
mm-hmm.
Zola, and we have you, Delta. And we do have a letter for you tonight, so we'll have to get our letter in for you. Someone else has a question for you, so we'll
mm-hmm.
get to ask Delta in the second
mm-hmm.
hour. But would you like to share your hot topics with us, and then we'll
I
move right on.
I most certainly will.
Okay.
Well, now let's go to Las Vegas, the young Black mother. And the reason I'm referring to her as Black, because I'm gonna tie something in about the little Alpha Winslow, or however you say it, the little boy, white boy from Texas. Now the young mother out in Las Vegas. Now, we all know that this girl supposed to have been had a good job from the government, because they all went through her background. And they released that she had a good job by the government from where she come from. Now, if somebody just up, they ain't said what happened to the job or what went on. But we know if you up and quit your job and you got a baby and move to Las Vegas and you don't have no plan and you there sleeping in your car, that's not normal. A normal person don't do that. That's somebody who's not right. So they check her for drugs, from my understanding, and they saying that they don't think she had anything in her system. So they went back and they looked at some of her interviews that when she was homeless. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because we can be trauma back when we young. And people don't realize that you can be trauma and if you can function in life, but something can trigger it. Something can trigger this to make something happen in your life, to make something come up, to make you lose it. So I believe, this is my personal opinion, I believe this mother had a psychotic episode, and they do know that she was moving from place to place, even though they said that today. She went to three different spots trying to get somewhere and park her car and go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And each time she got ran away. So I think the mother just lost it. Because they said today, she said, only thing, the reason she stopped and went to the police and told them that she hit somebody, she said something bumped up against her car and she thinks she hit somebody. Okay, y'all, we know this is not normal. But now the prosecutor came out today and he's trying to throw her under the jail and she'll never get out again. And this child has a mental problem. There you got a white boy who's privileged with all type of money. He killed 4 people, paralyzed 2, and one of them, they said they left him with serious injury. And yet, he served no jail time. He goes to a facility that's supposed to be like a spa. They showed the facility. It's just like a luxury hotel. He stays there a year. And now, he ran off. And here you go, trying to throw the book at this girl, but here this boy, him, undid all this. And it's called white money privilege. And I'm just, I'm angry about that. They have a law for the poor, and they have a law for the wealthy. And if you don't have no money to fight the law, you are in bad, bad shape. And this, and we need to not be quiet about this. We as in the community, we need to speak our voice. We need to let people know what's going on. And also, the young boy, I must back up, that's in Texas, where they killed the 4 people, his daddy owned a metal company. And it's one of the largest type of metal companies. And we need to find out who that company is. And we need to start hashtagging and telling people not to buy from that company. And let me go on to another hot topic. Then we'll come back and touch bases on my hot topic. Then there was Louis Farrakhan today. Saw him on Facebook. And he sent his guys out today. And they was holding up signs. And they went around to all the Korean shops that's in the black community and held up signs and told the black people, do not buy from there. Do not celebrate this Christmas. This is a way just to take your money and patronize your black-owned business. And the Japanese man or Chinese man, whatever he is, he was so upset, he calls the police. But the police tells them today that it was nothing they can do because they was not on his property. They was out on the street. And it was nothing that he could do about it. But they turned them away from the store. And the man said they lost so much business the last time they done this. So we need to take a stand in our community. Then one more. We got one going to Detroit, Michigan. There is a black mother. I saw the other day where she killed two of her kids. And she killed a 9-year-old boy and a 13-year-old daughter. And the mother says that she killed them and she was glad she killed them.
Why was she glad she killed them?
She was glad she killed her own children. Don't you know that this is not normal? She in jail with life with no parole. And she said her children deserve to die.
Did they mention anything about her mental condition?
Well, she said she argued with the judge. They tried to do a mental evaluation on her. And she argued with the judge and said she was not insane.
Most people who are say that, that's when they really need a test.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, she says, they asked her, why did you kill your two children? And she said that she killed them because they supposed to be molesting the other little boy. Don't you know if they supposed to be molesting the other little boy? That means somebody had to be molesting them. Okay, make a long story short, they said they did. They talked to the other two kids, the little boy that she said had been molested. Uh-huh. The little boy said that his sisters and brother never touched him. So the mama had to be just pure evil or insane. And I'm sick of all these double standard laws.
She probably had a nervous breakdown or something. Something
happened
now,
after there.
Yes, so people experiencing a lot of mental stress, and it's difficult to deal with it, especially when you've been disillusioned and you think you've done everything right. All your life you play by the rules, and you still see what happened, what could happen. You just being black, what is it, breathing while black?
Right.
Just doing anything, walking while black, driving while black, working while black, sipping tea while black. Just anything, playing in the park while black. So it's a lot of mental stress, and that's one reason why I like this piece that we have. Game changer in 2016. What are you going to do different in your life, and how is it going to how will that tie into some kind of way of improving not just your life, but impact the community in some kind of way? Because we have to do something different. We can't keep just going around the merry-go-round the same way we've been doing. I mean, this was an awakening period, and so many people have awakened to what's really been going on. So this is great, and more people will wake up, and some people will stay the same. But now that so many people are kind of really seeing the system for what it is and what's really going on, and people can pretty much see now that there is a disparity in the way that cops respond to people of color, African-Americans, Africans, Mexicans, Guatemalans, Central Americans, the Asians, they respond to these groups in a completely different fashion. White people can call and say, my cat is in the tree. They will come and get the cat out. If a black person calls, they may shoot the cat and you.
And
so,
you.
Yeah. That's a lot of stress. Not to say, not to even mention the stress that we have to deal with on the job. God, working in corporate America and have to deal with all of this nonsense. Can't wear your hair like this. Can't do this. Can't do. You're the angry black woman.
Right. Don't you say anything. Don't complain about anything because you're an angry black woman if you do.
Yeah, angry black woman. Which is, it ties into our topic tonight too, the victimization of black women. But Delta, were those your hot topics?
Yeah, that was all for tonight. That was all I have tonight. But also I wanted to go back to the young man in Texas. I really would like to find out what company that boy daddy owns, and I would like to start a hashtag or something to get people not to support the business, because if this boy can kill four people and his daddy running him out to hide from the police, and we taking some of our money, and maybe somebody we know taking some of their money and helping him get away.
Well, Google his case and his father's name, and then just backtrack it that way. And then find out, type in his father's name, like his company, like type in whatever his father's name and what company does he own or something like that. And once you do that, once you just Google his name and just walk it back, his company should appear. But his mother and father, the affluenza young boy, his mother and father seem to be career criminals. Just like Darren Wilson, who killed Mike Brown in Ferguson, his mother was a career criminal. A lot of these people are career criminals. That's what they were when they came over here, a bunch of criminals.
Exactly, exactly. It's in the DNA.
I mean,
literally
with criminals. Jails in Great Britain, I think, have been open and just pushed all of those people out in their sane asylums and put them on the boats and sent them over here to be the slaves.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Those
are the great grandparents.
Yeah, that's their
great grandchildren, I mean, of these.
Mm-hmm.
The generation who was sent over.
Yes. The young woman in Las Vegas. I did see her, I think her bail hearing this, I think it was yesterday.
No.
Lakeisha.
Mm-hmm. Well, they said today they're not going to do it. The first thing they did, and I like them doing this, her lawyer, they have requested for her to go to a 30-day evaluation on her mental state.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what they're trying to see, if she have mental problems. Well, don't you know her lawyer said today the family is not really telling the whole truth, and they want the family to really, that's what her lawyer was really saying today, the family need to come forth. And seeing a lot of folks have a problem admitting mental illness in the family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so her father doesn't want her to go through the mental evaluation?
No. No, he didn't say the father. He said the family.
The family.
The family. That's basically what the lawyer is saying. The family.
The family shouldn't have any say-so.
Well, he wants them to come. Well, what he's trying to do, he's trying to save her.
Why?
Really, basically. Because if she could be proven that it was a mental state, she would be home. She would be home in 6 months.
Mm.
That's what they were saying today. She would only have to serve like 6 months.
They don't want that stigma on her.
Well, the lawyer's saying the family, they've been trying to talk to the family.
Because she clearly has some type of mental issues going on. If you're in your car,
clearly,
on the curb, with your 3-year-old child in the back, and you run over people, and you're just looking just stoically ahead, and just It's like she just blacked out. But see, you never know what's going on with people. You don't know if this was some bad reaction to medication, if she just had a nervous breakdown, she was sleeping in her car, maybe she's never had to experience that, and maybe that was traumatic for her. She has her baby. The police are harassing her. We don't know
but
if
they
she
don't,
was...
But they don't know why she came to Las Vegas. This is what they're trying to figure out. Why were you up? Her family saying, this is what the news are reporting, saying her family said she had a home where she come from.
Mm-hmm.
So you up and just leaving your home like this? This is not...
They don't know, but they don't know what was going on in that home. They don't know what was going on in that home. What that young lady was experiencing in that home. There's always a behind the door story that is not made open to everybody. It could have been wonderful. If it was wonderful, then there's clearly something mental going on.
Yes.
If everything was so peaches and cream, she's not going to just up and leave unless it was something mental or something else was going on.
Well, me personally think it's something mental. Because a normal person who has a home and has a good job, you going to get up and just drive away and go to Las Vegas and sleep in different parking lots with a three-year-old child? That's not normal.
I think, you know what, it kind of seems like to me, and let me try to see, can I pull this story up again?
And then, and what I have to question is, why is the family so dead against them doing a mental evaluation? If they feel that that young lady is clearly sane, then let her go ahead and take the evaluation if it will help her to get out. Why not cooperate with the attorney who, as you say, is trying to get her out? So
well,
it seems like the family has some explaining to do, too.
Maybe they have some explaining to do.
And see, and that's what the lawyer was saying today. That's what the lawyer is saying today. The family, he has reached out to the family. And from if you read between the lines, the lawyer is acting like the family is don't want to cooperate too much. But the family probably scared to say something.
Scared
they
of what?
Be.
I don't know.
Something about her past coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Some previous incidents.
The
like
abuse
that. So let's
too
take a
that
quick
she
break.
Suffered with the mother. The mentally abused.
Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Okay, and we are back. You're listening to The Lotus Place. And we're going to wrap this story up so that we can go ahead on and move more into some other stories of women that are suffering from all that we have to endure as women, working in the workplace, being viewed as sexual objects or just being viewed differently or seen in a negative light since you are African American, you're the only black person on the job or something like that. And I really would like for you to share like some of your incidents with what's that crazy one, Jack? What you experienced in the workplace, if you don't mind.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Jack,
some of the things that we have to endure as black women on the job or just being out in the world, period. Who was it?
Zora Neale Hurston said the black woman is sometimes viewed as the mule of the world. You know, we just work so hard, and we just are treated so disdainfully, and we're just discredited and put down and defamed, and we have to endure so much. We've been told that we're too fat, too ugly, too black, lips too big, hips too big, booty too big, hair too nappy, you know, and then after all
voice too loud.
Yes, and after all of that put down, then you tell us that we're angry. Well, hell.
Yeah, right.
What
right.
do you expect? You're constantly degrading me at every chance. And even when you don't make the comments, what you deem is beautiful, it's always plastered in our faces. So,
right.
I think it wasn't until, 1969 or maybe 1971, I think it was in Beverly Johnson. Graced the pages of one of those white magazines, and that was like the first time a black woman was on the cover of like Vogue or one of those.
Yeah, it was Vogue. It was Vogue.
Was it Vogue?
Yeah.
Okay. But, Delta, I want to wrap this story up with this Lakeisha Holloway. Now, Lakeisha was apparently a troubled child. Here we go. Once again, just like, what's the little boy? Laquan McDonald in Chicago. Who was awarded the state. You see how all of this is set these children up to be, I don't want to say inefficient adults, but troubled adults. They have troubles
exactly.
in their lives by going through all of these different systematic processes of taking these children away from their parents or even if you're with your parents, somehow still these forces destroy black families in so many different ways, taking the father out, or the mother's making more than the father, so now she's resentful of him because she's making more than him, and then they have this conflict, and then his ego is shot, and then so there are some problems. There's all of this nonsense that we're forced to like live within, and which we shouldn't even have to. This is not how we're supposed to live. We should be in harmony. We should not have to be stressed about this and that and lights and bills and car notes and all of these types of things. We're supposed to be able to live a peaceful life of enjoying the land. Nobody stressed out about
nature.
Lead in their water because you can go
right
to the stream and have your own fresh water from the spring or the waterfall, the river or whatever. It's not polluted because you have all these factories and all of this stuff polluting. It's not supposed to be like this. It's not supposed to be like this. So this little young lady, Holloway, let me see, here's her story. I just had her story up. Okay. It seems like she had some troubles as a child because where she was employed was actually a position that she was able to gain through working through attending like one of those Portland opportunities. Industrialization center. So, like one of those, what is kind of similar to Job Corps, it seems like.
Okay.
So she was able, because this place, this Portland Opportunities Industrialization Center, helped at risk youth with education and career training. So, she had a troubled childhood already, so we don't even know what that could entail. She could have been molested, separated.
Right.
And then the poor girl grows up. She has a 3-year-old child. And I think, Delta, you said previously she was having some trouble with her baby's father.
That is what they were saying on the news, said that she was trying to reach out to the baby's father. And I guess she couldn't get in touch with him or something because they were saying she was having issues with the father, and he was probably a deadbeat, wasn't helping her. And he already stressed. And then also they said her mother was a bad alcoholic. As a child, and she was homeless as a child, even living with her mother, they was homeless. And her mother threw her out on the street, out of the house as a young girl, and she was homeless again.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. Oh, so, she, yeah, she did have a troubled childhood.
She had it.
She
uh-huh.
did. So they should definitely take that into account.
As they do when Europeans commit crimes.
Well, she doesn't need to be. See, that's why I'm kind of conflicted, because I don't think that her being, I don't think that her being in prison would help her. I think she needs psychiatric care. She needs therapy.
She does. To
overcome being homeless as a child and growing up with an alcoholic mother that possibly could have been abusive. We don't know if the poor child was sold off for drugs or what. We don't know what she experienced. And that's
she
what
don't.
Psychiatric evaluation may bring out that could really help her case. So I hope that she's able to go through the psychiatric evaluation. What do you think, Delta?
I do, too. I think just like they've given her this 30 days of that, a mental evaluation,
mm-hmm.
and I hope they be fair, because, you know, we have some people that's not fair.
Mm.
And they want, to me, they seem like they want to make an example out of her, the
mm-hmm.
district attorney, and the mother is, there's something wrong. Something is wrong
mm-hmm.
with you. You don't just take your daughter and put her in a car and go run down people. Then also,
yeah.
they said that she was saying that she was in totally their zone. They said even when they was hitting the car, the young lady didn't flinch. The young lady didn't do nothing. The young lady was like she was in a trance. This is what the people said. This is what the people were saying. Don't you know that's not normal?
She may have just blanked out. She may have just blanked out for a moment, just checked completely out.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
She may not even be have been aware of what took place.
Possibly.
And if she was trying to reach out to her child's father, then that means she was trying to get some kind of assistance for her situation, for the child, or for her situation, so that it is show some sign of concern on her part.
And everybody knows her saying that she was a great, great mother.
Oh,
Something, so that's what I'm saying, to jump from this leaf to this, something is not right upstairs.
No. I hope that she can get the care that she really needs. I want to play this video. Go ahead, Delphin. I want to play a video
okay.
in reference to the rapist cop in Oklahoma.
Okay. Well, like I said, my problem is I just don't want them to throw her away and she's mentally
mm-hmm.
ill. She got to have an advocate for her.
I agree, too.
So she needs to be watched over because, God forbid the poor child becomes another statistic like Sandra Bland and what was the other young lady? It was like two or three young ladies that same week Sandra Bland was found.
It sure was.
Hanging in her cell. Yes, there was about two other ladies. But I was reading this post whereas Asada Shakur spoke about how it was very common for women to be found hanging dead in their jail cells, or people, not just women, but people to be found dead in their jail cells, and it's just, something happened, and it just goes under the rug. It's like, you're dead. You're just a prisoner. You're just jailed. Anything can happen. Who knows? No investigation, no real investigation. Or we'll put it on someone. Or we'll just going to commit a suicide.
Yeah.
All right, let me play this one right here. This is What is Justice in the case of Daniel Holt, the Claw, who is the cop in Oklahoma that was found guilty on 18 charges of raping black women, mostly black women and like one white woman. So he committed these rapes while on duty. I hope that this man serves the rest of his life in prison.
Justice in this situation would be a life sentence. Life without possibility of parole. Anything less than that would not be justice in this.
Justice looks like everything more than life. Like, we want life and more. If one man can be sentenced to a life sentence for only attacking one woman, then we expect 6 life sentences from this case.
Well, justice at minimum looks like holding Daniel Holdsclaw accountable. That's minimal. But beyond that, we have to realize that there's 13 black women whose lives have been shaped and changed by this. So once this is over, the consequences of being abused and being abused by people in authority will continue unless we find ways to hold these women up, to provide them the support they need, whether it's services, whether it's safe living, whether it's treatment. The things that made them vulnerable should be the place that we start to make them whole.
Ex-Oklahoma City cop found guilty of sexually assaulting 13 women. An Oklahoma City jury found an ex-police officer guilty on 18 counts of sexual battery, rape, and other offenses against over a dozen victims, all black women. In 2013, Daniel Holdsclaw was a 27-year-old Oklahoma City police officer working the 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. patrol shift. Prosecutors said Holdsclaw would stop African-American women, then search police databases for any outstanding warrants or criminal history he could use to coerce sex. Police arrested Holdsclaw on June 18, 2014, a day after he assaulted a woman with no criminal history who immediately reported the assault. GPS evidence from Holdsclaw's patrol car placed him near each of the sexual assaults, and for all but one of the victims, he accessed police databases, which is automatically recorded. 13 African-American women accused Holdsclaw of having committed sexual battery or rape against them in the 7 months up to June 2014. The Oklahoma City jury, which was all white, deliberated for 45 hours before finding Holdsclaw guilty on 18 out of 36 counts of sexual battery, rape, and other crimes. Holdsclaw will appear in court again on January 21st for sentencing. He faces up to life in prison.
Okay, now I want to play this ACLU clip in reference to the lead in the water in Michigan, in Flint, Michigan. This is very
In April of 2014, the city of Flint switched its water source from the Detroit system to the Flint River. It's been a nightmare ever since.
My water's been brown since the switch. The rashes, the hair loss, the muscle stiffness, the soreness. My family broke out in a rash that we were told looks like scabies, but it wasn't scabies.
The water going into many homes throughout the city is foul-smelling and badly discolored. Initially, there were problems with E. coli, and then high levels of total trihalomethanes, a carcinogenic byproduct of chlorine. Within the past several weeks, researchers at Virginia Tech, working with a grassroots group of Flint residents and the ACLU of Michigan, have found dangerously high levels of lead in the water. To absolve themselves of the responsibility for this disastrous decision, made while the city was under the control of a state-appointed emergency manager, officials continue to claim that they were forced to leave the Detroit system and had no choice but to use the Flint River as its water source. That's simply not true. Flint could have kept using Detroit water if it wanted to. Following a recent press conference where Virginia Tech scientists released the results of their study, two city officials faced tough questions from city residents and the ACLU of Michigan.
We're talking about Detroit that had over $1 billion of infrastructure costs coming that we could see, and we were kicked off their system.
Let me just address it. I have a letter from Darnell Early saying the city of Flint has decided not to return to, not to continue using Detroit water.
There were...
Correct? Is that correct?
I think evaluation has gone on all the way up to the state level. On what would the best course of action would be for the city of Flint, and that was the determination.
All the way to the governor's office?
All the way to the governor's office.
A major problem with the river water is that it is extremely corrosive. 5 times more corrosive than Detroit's. This corrosion is a direct cause of the high lead levels found by Virginia Tech. The Michigan Department of Environmental Quality and city officials continue to claim that the water is safe to drink. The MDEQ could have ordered the city of Flint to continue using corrosion control chemicals, as the city of Detroit does, to mitigate the caustic effects of the corrosive Flint River. Instead, when the switch was made and corrosion control was more needed than ever, they inexplicably discontinued using it, leading directly to the lead crisis now plaguing the city.
No way you should let it slide by without a corrosion control. No way. If we had that in place, we at least would have started off in the right direction. We didn't start this whole Flint River from starting in the right direction.
How could any reasonable person think that corrosion control was not required from day one?
Well, and again, I think in the world of all the things we're doing, on how do we transition? Once I don't have to contend with Detroit's infrastructure, I contend with just the cities. Now it's directly coming off, impacting the water sewer bill.
Okay,
but you've got to put the thing in
excuse
place.
He asked you one question. Mm-hmm. Why did you think that was important in the first place? It's about corrosion. Why did you think that was important in the first place? I am angry that I am doing this stuff and drinking this water and doing this stuff, and I could die before my time. Why didn't y'all think about that?
I will be the one asking the DEQ that. I will be the one asking why did you believe with the engineering team there? Because that's we follow their guidance. We continue to follow their guidance, and I have no problem getting that specific question of why was that the decision.
Do you feel the emergency manager and DEQ have done something to undermine your responsibility and your ability to do your job?
Can't say that.
You're not asking me to
say. The city and the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality must prove to the federal government that Flint's water is safe. To do so, they are supposed to verify that at least 50% of the homes tested have lead service lines, and that at least 50% of the homes tested have lead plumbing. Our investigation has found that didn't always happen. Instead, city officials collected water from homes that were not part of an approved sample pool. Also, they submitted reports containing information they could not verify.
In your report to the MDEQ for the 2 rounds of testing, you indicated that every single home that was tested had a lead service line. But when I filed a Freedom of Information Act request asking for how you were able to make that determination, I was not provided with anything. So how were you able to determine that every one of those homes had a lead service line?
This will be a question for a utilities administrator, and I believe we make them fill out a form, and when we do the test, we ask them.
Yeah, well, sometimes the residents don't know.
Right.
You know, so we try to go through our records.
Why was I not provided with those records when I filed a Freedom of Information Act request?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer for you right now, uh-huh. To be honest with you. Sometimes records get lost, so
right.
we just
So you
know.
Don't necessarily have all the records?
That could be a possibility.
So how were you, again, how were you able to determine that every single house had a lead service line?
We're not really. We throw bottles out everywhere just to collect as many as we can to try to hit our number. And that's why we just turn in every result that we get in.
You indicated on those reports that all those lines were lead service lines.
To the best of our knowledge.
When you didn't have actual documentation for each house where you put that down.
Yeah, we're still looking for the records.
Even though it's after the fact. And the compliance was based on those reports.
That's how they base their compliance, yes.
The problem is not necessarily high lead in the water. It's high lead in water and people don't know about it because they can't take steps to protect themselves.
Okay, so our first 2 clips were speaking in regards to the Oklahoma case with the cloth raping the black women there while on duty, and he particularly preyed on the, I guess you could say, vulnerable women that he felt would not report him because of their lifestyle or maybe previous or ongoing criminal activities. Maybe they were ladies of the night. Some of them were said to have been drug users or recovering drug users. And so when the women came to testify, I read that some of them were forced to testify in their orange jumpsuit and shirt,
right,
while this claw man was able to have on his suit and tie and look innocent,
right,
and less threatening to the jury. But they still found him guilty. Is this Brother Brown?
I'm sorry, I'm late. I fell asleep.
Oh, hey, Brother Brown.
Yeah, this medication thing coming out. But I'm good.
Yeah. Okay, okay. Medication had you knocked out.
Yeah.
I understand, Brother Brown. Well, we're glad to have you here. We're just having part two of the show from Sunday night, speaking about the sexualization and victimization of black females. And I'll bring it up again. I always love when you say, where is the black army and who is going to protect the black woman? Can you expand on that a little bit for our listeners?
I said, hello, Brother Brown. This is Aja.
How you doing, sister?
I'm great.
My problem is that we see all of these so-called organizations, Black Lives Matter, Crips, Blood, Black Guerrilla Family, Nation of Islam, but we have not seen any militant stance against none of these entities that destroy our women.
Right.
You know, as if our women are out there by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are out there by ourselves. The young boy, Tamir Rice, that got shot. I mean, where are these people at? I mean, they're invisible. I mean, you just had a goddamn, excuse my language, I get very irate. You just had a million man life for the umpteenth time, and now you see these black women placed in these positions, and none of your people are visible.
Uh-uh.
You know, I've had my dealings with the nation, you know, in the past, and one of the things that I do not like about the nation, because the nation only helps the nation. If it's not benefiting the nation do not give a damn about anybody.
I've noticed that.
They do not come out and support other elements of our struggle. Even going back to the days of Malcolm X, when he wanted to incorporate some of the ideologies with other entities, and you know, he was clearly told by Elijah Muhammad, that's not our struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same way it is with Safaricon. That's not our struggle. Our struggle is for the nation.
Yep.
And
we are separate.
Right. They separate themselves when they want to be separate. See, how can you have an entity? I mean, that's like in Baltimore. We got a Nation of Islam on one side of the street. And we got a Mohammed's temple on the other one, which was the original name for of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's Nation of Islam, but you know, prior to his transition. And they don't even get along with each other. So how in the hell can you tell me?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, that's
wow.
Because I used to write for the Mohammed Speaks newspaper out of Detroit. I used to write articles for them. And I have written only one article for the nation. But I'm just saying, in that element, they can't even, they're on two sides. Both of them on Gaston Boulevard in Baltimore, because I visited both places. And I know members of both mine. But they don't even get along together. Well, how can you tell me? You know? But it's really sad and, you know, and deplorable when our women, such as, you know, Sonja Bland, you know, which I wrote a little clip on Facebook today about, you know, it bothers me because nobody comes out. But you have one of these marches, or I mean, I haven't even heard none from Greasy Head Al Sharpton. Because, you know, they took him off of MSNBC on a nightly basis, and they put his ass on TV and nobody come on the same time the cartoons were on Thursday. That's the respect they have for him. You know, and what is sad because I have always been on the forefront for black women.
Oh.
Always. Because one of the things that I have learned in my years on this planet, and that came from seeing my mother abused when I was a kid, I will always uphold a black woman. She has no protection. She has no protection. And if we are so black men, whether they're revolutionaries or militants or gang leaders or whoever the hell we call ourselves, that we can't go out of our way. And a lot of times I stand by myself. I don't look for people to go with me. As long as my ancestors are with me, then I'm ready to go. And if it means that I travel alone, then I travel alone with just my ancestors. But I do not like it when black women are in a position of powerlessness and you have no black male speaking out there bothering me. It really does bother my spirit. And it shows me exactly what kind of men we're dealing with. And they talk a good game.
You're right
about that. Yeah. They talk a good game, but when it comes down to really defending black women, they are nowhere to be found. And that's sad. So I don't, a lot of times, you know, I know people say, well, why don't you do this with this one? I'd rather be alone and be by myself. But I know if a black woman called me and I said, I'm locked up, police did something, I would get out of my bed and tell my wife I got to go. And she understands, and I would go to their aid. But as far as this foolishness that they're doing, I have no respect for none of them that call themselves black leaders.
Can I offer a perspective?
Sure.
Greetings, Brother Brown, Donnie? And everybody on the line.
Greetings, Donnie.
Brother Brown, the way I look at it, black men can't even defend themselves in this society. We are hunted. We are enslaved. And we're being murdered in the streets. I agree with everything you said about these organizations, though. You know, a certain somebody said that we looking for 10,000 fearless black men. So I ain't heard nothing else about it. You know, since that was said, but I mean, the entire black family is under assault in this country, and I don't see how we can protect ourselves unless, you know, there's some serious organization at the grassroots level, similar to what the Black Panthers was doing, where we had armed patrols and putting these people on notice, you know, that we're not going to stand by and tolerate it. But the only other thing I could see is a retaliation, you know, after the fact through guerrilla warfare. I mean, that, you know, I'm out of ideals. I'm like you. I'm trying to figure out what the hell is going on. We ain't got no leadership, to be honest with you, and all our family members are vulnerable.
Right. We're all vulnerable to these attacks because I was looking at a DVD I had the other day by Brother Amos Wilson prior to his transition, and he said that one of the problems with black America is that we have no organization against the dominated control of ourselves. And we haven't looked at the elements of being dominated, because if we know that we are in a powerless position of being dominated, then if you organize, he said, you go to the root cause of your domination. And he said, if you realize that you're in a war, then you're going to, you destroy that cause. You destroy.
If you know that you're in a war, you do what?
You destroy the cause of your domination.
Oh, absolutely. That makes sense. I love Brother Amos Wilson. Let's take a quick break, Brother Brown, and then we will come right on back. We have to ask the jail staff.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, we are back, and if you would like to offer a comment, just call in 641-715-3660, And the participant code is 5490, excuse me, 32, and then press pound. So, Brother Brown, right before you came on, I asked Mother Zola if she would share a few of her experiences when she was victimized as a black woman on the job back in, when was this, like 85?
About 87.
Okay.
87. I was there from 85 to 87. So, yeah, about 87. 87, okay. 88.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was working in the hotel industry, and I had started as an executive secretary and worked my way up to management. So I was a sales manager. I was on the only black on the team, as well as the only black female on the team. There were a couple of white females, and the rest were white males. So my manager was your typical white male, just open Southern, I really don't respect black people sort of type person. He made no bones about cracking jokes about black people, and he expected all of the salespeople to laugh. He was one of those managers that was always telling jokes and you're supposed to laugh, whether they're funny or not. So one particular time, we were all sitting at the table, and there was one other black in the office, and she was the secretary. So one particular time, all the managers were sitting at the table in a meeting, and he took out a sheet of paper and a pencil, and he drew a circle, and he drew triangles around the circle, about six or seven or eight of them, enough to cover up the circle. And inside the circle, he drew a black dot. And so he said, "What does this look like?" You know, laughing. And so nobody knew. And he says, "This is the Ku Klux Klan looking down in the hole at a nigger." And I'm just like, okay, am I not sitting here? And naturally, I was not going to laugh. And I was really in shock that he felt that he, I mean, this is like 87, 88, that he felt that he could say that with me sitting there. You know, I know they tell jokes about us all the time. We're not around. But, I mean, I'm sitting there. So the others, they kind of, you know, they were nervously laughing because they knew that I was out of place. And then as I'm thinking about this, about a week passed, I'm like thinking, okay, what do I need to do? What can I say? I'm like in my early 30s. I'm like wondering, what do I do? So then he makes another joke. And we're sort of like walking around. So the black secretary hears this because we're not in a meeting. This is open space. But he's within like 5 to 10 feet of me. And he says something about, and I can't really remember the joke word for word, but it was something about Pocahontas and her vagina. And it wasn't really the word vagina, but it was something, you knew he was talking about the vagina, and it had something to do with somebody who's not white, you know. And so on this one, I said, no. I'm going to go in here and talk to him about this. So I asked him, you know, I need a few words with him, and I expressed how I felt about it. And I told him that I felt, I didn't threaten him or anything. I just did it what I thought it was a professional way, and told him that I felt very uncomfortable with the racist jokes that he had been saying recently. So he politely got up. I got up and walked out. And from then on, it was hell. I had an office like all of the other managers. He took me out of my office. He changed my status. He gave his girlfriend, he was married and she was married, but she was one of the sales managers. He gave his girlfriend that he was seeing on the side my office, put me downstairs in the middle of the lobby. This is a Holiday Inn Crown Plaza, very nice hotel, and said that I was supposed to be the sales manager that grabs people as they come into the hotel. And he changed my hours instead of coming in from
9 or 10. You know, we were on salary. We just get there when we got there. Instead of coming in at 9 or 10 and working till 5 or 6 whenever the work was done, I was put on the schedule from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. I'm not an early person. I can't do it. Oh, and he changed my sales quota, which made it difficult for me to meet. So then I began tracking everything that he was doing. I tell my daughter all the time, you've got to take notes of everything. Get your facts straight. Get your dates straight so that you can present everything when it's time. So luckily I had very good notes. I had dates, times when he and his lady went out. I had dates as when he took my office. And so I went to the corporate Holiday Inn office and I laid out all of this to them. And clearly they thought that he was in violation. But me not having friends or backups to just get myself a lawyer, I could have really just came in there and wiped them clean. But they said they wanted to have a meeting with me. I went into the meeting in one of the suites alone with all of them and the manager, and they said clearly that he was wrong. I was going to have my office back, give my hours back. But from then on, whatever my quota was going to be, I was going to have to make that quota. So every little thing that I did from then on was still examined by a microscope. I couldn't be 2 or 3 minutes late. It was pure hell working for him, just for me standing up for my rights. So I actually had to just leave. I quit and went to work for the Omni Hotel. But I found out within a year, because the hotel people, you know, like every other group of people, they keep in touch, that he got fired for some other mistreating some other person. I don't know if they're in black or white, but he was scandalous anyway, and so they fired him. I was really glad to hear that. But that's just one of the I began to lose my hair. I began to feel unsure of myself. I felt like I had to work 5 times as hard as anybody else. And on top of this, I want to make note of this. The other black female that was in the office that heard the jokes, they had the corporate people come in, some of the representatives, because they were kind of scared because they knew that he had really messed up. And they had some corporate people come in and talk with each one of the managers and everyone in the office, asking them about Jack. His name was Jack Richardson. And do you know that the black female did not back me up? She said she didn't hear him, and she just really didn't know what I was talking about. And I just, because everybody else, of course, was white, and they were just, like, fearing for their job. So they were like, well, I kind of heard, you know, he did kind of say, but I don't know if he meant it that way. You know, they were saying things like that. But I really thought that she would stand up for me, but she did not, you know. But it was enough information from my notes, for them just backing things up, for them to know that I was not lying, you know.
Well, you know, that's very ironic that you would say that. The sister who mm-hmm. you thought would back you up.
Right.
That's the same exact thing that happened with Sandra Bland, when the black female officer pulled up right there on the scene. Sandra Bland looked at her and said, "Did you see that? Did you see that?" And she said, "No, I didn't see anything."
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really, really sad when, especially when you know it's an injustice. It's not like you're just trying to have the sister support you just because she's a sister.
Exactly.
It's an actual injustice. So I mean,
yes, just tell the truth. Just tell
mm-hmm.
the truth. That's all she had to do, was tell the truth. She didn't have to stretch the lie or anything.
Mm-hmm. Just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. But I bet you if there was a white woman, a white colleague, asked her to stand up and say something, she'd be, oh, yes.
And embellished.
Let me say, oh, yes. Maybe she'd have dates and times and everything else. Mm.
Yes.
I have a little notepad recorder and all of that.
Yes.
To support her statement. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. And what saved me was my documentation.
Mm.
My documentation. I took documentation for about 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
2 months straight. Every day I was writing down something.
Mm. Okay. Well, thank you, Aja, for sharing that. And
this topic is just such a deep topic. It's just, it's almost impossible just to cover some of the issues that I would really like to delve into. But let me see if Mother Hattie, you still there with us? She's been awfully quiet. Do you have any announcements for us? Anything, Mother Hattie?
Oh, I'm still here. I'm just listening. And okay. It's just like, what can you say? What can you say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know one thing that we can say, and that is you can contact Women United. We're starting chapters all across the country. And so all you need to do to jump in and get involved, I know people are looking for some new organization to become a part of in 2016 with your new resolutions and all. So Women United, and you can like our Facebook page, Women United Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. And how can they contact us, Mother Hattie?
Go to the website at womenunited7777.org, and we have applications there, and we have information about what we're all about. And just give us a call, even if you like, or email us at women.united7777@gmail.com. But the website will have all the contact information.
I'm winning that everything.
Yeah, okay.
Say that again. Oh, okay. Something else?
No, that was Delta.
Okay. Okay.
Pardon me.
Women.united777@gmail.com.
All right. Fantastic.
Web page. WomenUnited7777.org.
Okay. And did you want to mention the event in January, the Women in White?
Well, we do have and have paired up with some ladies across the world and men as well. And we're doing a 1,000 Women in White backed by 100 Men in Black Peace March. And that's January the 9th. And you can certainly have 1,000 Women in White backed by 100 Men in Black in your community as well. So if you want information on that, you could go to our website, and we have posted our flyer there. And if you would like to take a look at information, the website that you can go to for the people in California that are spearheading this is 1000womeninwhites, that's with an S on it, .webs.com. And you'll find information there as well as on the Women United page. And that's going to be held all across the world. And this is a peace march. And we're highlighting recommitment to peace and faith.
Recommitment
to and
peace
family.
And faith. And family.
And family.
I love it. Recommitment to peace.
That's going to be held January 9th across the world.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll be in Detroit on that day. So, I don't know. Maybe some Women in White will come out in Detroit. I don't know what the weather will be like, but maybe we can have some women come out in
Detroit.
Well,
there is a map. Oh, sure. There's a map, and I haven't looked at it to see which actual states was across the United States and the world, and it is on that website there. And just you have to write the number out, 1,000 Women in White dot webs dot com, and you can see if there is one in that particular state.
GovWeb.com. So. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I think that, Anja, did you have another piece for us that you would like to share?
Yes, I do. Let's see, what time is it? 10:46. Okay, this is, you know, I like to keep you on time, on schedule. Mm-hmm. This is my other piece on eyes. Okay, the first I just gave you some quotes about eyes. So this is my mind, body, and spirit on the eyes. And the reason why I chose this particular topic, the eyes, is because the eyes have always been a sore spot for me. My eyes have always been a sore spot for me. As long as when I was like a teenager, it seems like forever. And so I had a visit to my eye doctor this past week, and my conclusions or whatever, I have to go back in three months. And so I decided that I would try to strengthen my eyes before my next visit, so I started doing some research. Further, I've always done research on eyes because they're a sore spot. And so I decided to do some research on how to do some natural strengthening. So I thought I would share this with your audience. So you hear a lot about the pupil, okay, which dilates and contracts. And did you know that when you hear something good, your eyes dilate? And then when you hear something bad, your pupils, they contract. So, and when you see somebody, when you look at somebody that you love, you're in love with, then the pupil dilates to 4 times its natural size. So your eyes, like we were saying before, they tell a lot. So you hear about the cornea, which is like the window of the eye. And then we hear about the iris, which is named, incidentally, after the Egyptian goddess Isis. And the iris determines the color of the eye, and it acts like a shutter. And it determines the size of the pupil. And then we also hear about the optic nerve, which sends messages to the brain to tell what the eye is seeing. But you rarely hear about the sclera. This is S-C-L-E-R-A. Black Rose knows I love to spell things so people can get a vision of what I'm saying. The sclera. The sclera is the white of the eye. You know, you have the saying, don't shoot until you see the white of the eyes. Well, the sclera is known as the conspicuous sclera. And so the sclera is my issue. My sclera, and it's not as white as a lot of people, as many people. The white, you know. It's not white, you know. And all my life, like the movie, Purple. I've had to listen to people all my life, have to ask me about my eyes. They ask me, you know, why are my eyes red? And so when I first started dating my ex, and that was the first time I actually started dating. I hadn't been dating before him. And I'd get all dressed up, you know, I'd have my hair in some kind of unusual style, whatever I felt like doing that particular week. I'd have a nice heels and smell good. I'd look, you know, cute. And he would never really compliment me. Huh? Oh, but somewhere during the night, he'd always look at me and go, why your ass so red? And I wasn't drinking, I wasn't smoking, you know, any of that. And I felt that was so rude, you know, because a woman doesn't like for a guy to say, you know, why your eyes red, unless he's doing it for, you know, care, like, you've been crying, you know, something like that. But this is, you know, but that would bother me so much. It got to the point, sometimes I just wanted to just take my fist and pop him upside his head, you know, because I wasn't.
You went on mute. We can't hear you. Can't hear you. Bring it back to us.
Hello.
Bring it back. Yes, Jeff, are you ready for your letter?
I'm ready.
I know.
Did I disappear?
Yes, you did.
You did disappear.
Wow.
The lady was talking about the opera. Say that again.
She disappeared.
Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah,
really?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Oh,
so
okay.
Go ahead on
okay.
and finish so we can read Delta's letter and hear her response.
Oh, well, you only got 9 minutes. I tell you what, that was my prelude. And, Sunday, I will give you some interesting information, facts and things that I have learned about the eyes. And then also I will give the audience some tips on how to naturally strengthen their eyes, including sunning and palming and blinking.
And blinking. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I do try to go outside and look up at the sun and try to get their vitamin D, but I don't do that as often as I should, just like water. That's one thing that I want to also do more of, drink water in 2016, more water. Listen, let's ask Delta this question that one of our listeners has. So, Delta Cougar, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. Okay. So, Delta Cougar, we have a listener from right here in my good state of Texas, but they're in Dallas, Texas. And so, the letter reads, I'll just kind of make it brief. So, she said, Delta Cougar, she knows that you can really help her with this because she's been listening to some of your responses to the letters. And she's been pondering over this, and you said, don't wonder about things. Just ask Delta Cougar. Oh, she really likes you, Delta. Just ask Delta Cougar, and Delta Cougar can give you an answer. So, she wants to know. She's going on a trip with this young man that she's been seeing for 4 months, and she said that they have not had sex as of yet, but they're taking a lovely trip to Savannah, Georgia. Oh, okay, Savannah, Georgia. They're going to Savannah, Georgia and to New Orleans. Okay, and she said that she feels like she's going to be ready to become intimate with this man, but she's not sure. And she wants to know, should she wait? Should she wait and should she bring her own condoms, or would that seem too inappropriate? Because she says she doesn't want to get into it hot and heavy and then there are no condoms. So what would you do, Delta? She needs your help. She doesn't want to seem like she's too forward bringing home condoms.
How long did she say? How long she had been knowing him?
4 months.
4 months.
4 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's good and ready. So that's good and ready, because you know the young girls are now meet them one day and one night and it's on. But I think there's nothing wrong with you bringing your own condom, because this is my philosophy is. My philosophy is that you should be the one, as a woman, to take total control over your body. Can't nothing
Amen.
Happen to your body unless you allow it to happen. So, yes, you should have your condom and ready to go. I see nothing wrong with that, because he may come and he may not have some condoms. And so I don't think that you being too hot and too heavy and ready to jump in the sheets. I don't, like I said, 4 months is pretty good, you know, because now the average person don't wait anymore. So I don't think it's too straightforward. But when you go, you need to have an understanding what are y'all expecting out of each other, and you need to have some extra money in your pocket and money to be able to get back home, because if it don't go the way you plan for it to go, you need to be able to get back home, because you know
sure do.
When you know you give it up, If you don't give it up, you know they'll get mad and they'll leave you right where you at. So you need to be able to take care of yourself. So you need to have some money. The number one, let me go in three steps. Number one key, take your condoms. That's the number one thing. The number two thing is that your body, you need to be total control over your body. Number three is have you some money in your pocket and a way to be able to get back home. Number four, if you and him ready to come together and you got an understanding, come on with it. Let the sparkles fly. Come on with it. Go right ahead,
it's
baby.
Good. All right.
I love it.
Love it.
I love it. Well, let me ask Brother Brown, since he's a male on the line. Brother Brown, you still here with us?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yes, from a male's perspective. So if the woman brought out her little bag of condoms, would you think that that's being a little too forward, or would you just be like, okay, and just put the condom on?
Well, if y'all been dating for 4 months, and this is my opinion, if been dating 4 months, and you haven't had sex, I'm quite sure the issue has came up before in the conversation with the woman that long. What should be acknowledged by the male is the respect for what the woman wants. If she says that I don't want to have sex without protection, then it's their responsibility to provide that. That's all the respect for the woman. Because if she's doing this, respect for her that bad, and you've been dating her, and you go on a trip, the next thing is that let each one buy their own ticket. Or if I'm going to buy a ticket, or buy you a ticket and me a ticket, there's going to be round trips and you decide the same way you like, and you're free to go.
Okay, so she should purchase her own ticket so there's no obligatory.
He's taking her on the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. Let him purchase two tickets, and both of them be round trip tickets. And
okay.
If it's bad that it don't work out, and she still got a ticket to buy home.
Mm-hmm.
That's your
right.
Call.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
If you're taking her.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And make sure that, if y'all got to understand after 4 months of dating, that, I'm going to practice safe sex for whatever reason, and I don't want to have sex without a condom. And the man should acknowledge and respect him for that. He should buy his own condoms. You don't buy them, you don't give them.
But it's okay if she has her own too, though, right?
Well, she can have them, but if she doesn't have any, then she should feel obligated to have sex with them. But that's something that should have been etched in stone, before they even got a room.
I like that, Brother Brown, because I kind of touched on that the other night, how if we take the time to have these conversations and all of this, there's no ambiguity. Ooh, do I need to bring some condoms? Did I get the right size? I don't even want to have to deal with all of that size issue with the condoms and ribbed and unribbed and all of this stuff. Oh, my gosh, this is too much. But I will bring them now if I have to. So, I have another part
but me,
of this
I'm saying
like
as a,
add, but,
mm-hmm. I'm saying as a woman, this is my really, really philosophy. I believe as a woman, you should take control of your body. You should always have condoms on hand. You should not look for the man to have the condoms to take care of your body. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
That's your body. That's your little sweet thing down there. That's your responsibility to make sure that sweet thing, nothing contaminates that sweet thing. That's your responsibility. That's not a man's responsibility. That's just me as a woman. I wouldn't look for a man to be responsible for my body. That's how so many babies come up, because the women are not responsible.
Well, you know, they have to put some of the responsibility on the male, too, because that's why so many young men don't respect women, because they haven't been taught how to. Now, that's something that older men need to teach young men. Like, I taught my son, and I told him, I said, now, if you get involved with a woman, I said, you go. I took him to the store and told him to buy them. And I said, until you lock up with a woman and y'all get a long-term relationship, this is what you do. And that's what he did. I'm trying to get married and have a child. But I'm just saying, if we do not teach our young boys how to be responsible.
Thinking of responsibility and speaking of responsibility, I don't believe that all young women are having sex before they're married. I personally don't believe in sex before marriage, and that's what I teach. But I understand that some people do that before marriage, and I understand that some people have appetites for sexuality outside of marriage. I understand all that, but at the same time, I think there are some women, young girls as well, who are and have a value system that's different than what many are doing, the outside of marriage sexuality. I know of some of them, so that's why I'm saying this, and so I don't think we should assume that every woman is having sex outside of marriage or when they're dating. To me, the thing dating means different. It's a different definition for different people. Dating to some people means dating, a movie, dinner, you know, very little contact, maybe a hug or a kiss. Doesn't mean going to bed with somebody. Doesn't mean having sex with somebody. So I just had to kick that in there because I just think that some people have a different perspective of dating and a different definition of dating. And I like what Mother Dunning said. If that's what people are doing is having sex, they should be responsible. But there are some that after 4 months wouldn't think about having sex.
Absolutely. That's a good note to end on. We'll have to pick back up on that dating and what is dating to you. What's the date? Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mother Zola. Thank you, Mother Hattie. Thank you, Delta. Thank you, Brother Brown. Thank you, Scotty, callers, and those of you listening. I appreciate you, and we'll be back. Let me see, when will we be back? Friday is Christmas, isn't it? Is Friday Christmas? Yes.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be here. The Lotus
Club. I'll be here Friday night.
Merry Christmas. Oh, okay, Delta, because I want to hear that you make some coon and possum and everything for Christmas.
No.
I may drive down there and have pound cake. I may drive down there just to get a pound cake. I'll drive down there and turn around and come back.
Keep the car running. I'm here.
You got to do some pumpkin cake.
Send me a picture. Peace and good night. Good night.